The fact that the world over, newspapers and websites, financial transactions and iPhones will all report that today is the 22nd of March, 2026, is something we take for granted, but that can be traced all the way back to the 1st of January, 45 before Christ, when a decree went out from Julius Caesar that time was to be calculated according to the Julian calendar. Gone was the Roman 10-month calendar that started in March with the god of war, and now we had a 12-month calendar that started with January after Janus, the Roman god of new beginnings. The Julian calendar continued for about 1,600 years until Pope Gregory made a bit of a tweak to leap years to correct this 11-minute drift in the Julian calendar. But he announced that they were moving to the Gregorian calendar. They really like to name things after themselves, don't they? He announced that they were moving to the Gregorian calendar in 1582, which was right smack in the middle of the Reformation. And so not everyone was impressed with the Pope thinking that he could reorder time itself. And so while places like Italy and Poland, Spain and Portugal adopted the change immediately, skipping 10 days in October 1582. Can you imagine? Just 10 days gone. It took some Protestant and Orthodox nations a little bit longer to obey the Pope's wish. I love that Greece was the last holdout. Did you know that they didn't switch to the Gregorian calendar until 1923? So, go Greece. I guess there used to be these tables so that you could figure out like what day it was in Greek, in Greece, as opposed to the rest of Europe. It's probably good we don't have to do that anymore. Bankers would lose their mind. So here we are in March 2026. And it hasn't been a great month, has it? Once again, we have been reminded that the only God empires and emperors have is the God of war. Or should I say, the idol of war. Which is why it's been helpful to me these past few weeks to remember that here in the church, we have another way of telling time. We don't tell time by the rules of empire. Here in church, it hasn't so much been March as it's been Lent. Early Christians, as you can imagine, were hesitant to tell time by way of the Roman calendar. What we should not forget all these 2,000 years later is that for the first few centuries of Christian history, Rome very much persecuted the church. Historian Seneca coined the term Pax Romana, and historians say that about between the year 27 before Christ to 180 after Christ, it was a time of glorious peace brought about by the Roman Empire. Christians have a different story to tell of those times. Was it really all that peaceful? It wasn't peaceful if you were a Jew living in the Roman-occupied territories. It wasn't peaceful if you were a Christian in those first couple of centuries. For Christians and Jews, the Pax Romana was experienced not so much as peace, but as a sword. And I would argue that the Pax Romana has about as much integrity as a certain board of peace started by a certain emperor today. The whole Christian story, the whole gospel story, is the story of struggling with empire. It was the Roman King Herod who tried to have the Christ child killed. And as we say in the Creed, Christ was crucified under the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And while the resurrection was and is real, the violence of the Roman Empire towards the church did not end. Historians tell us that 28 of the first 31 bishops of Rome were martyred at the hands of the empire. Once again, we are, as people of God, at a stage in history when we must see the empires of the world for what they are. And the liturgical year, this other way of telling time, helps us to do that. The liturgical year, of course, begins in Advent, in the desert, with the people who are disillusioned and despairing about the occupying Roman Empire. And so they travel out into the desert to ask this man, John the Baptist, how then shall we live? And John gives them some very straightforward advice and basically tells them, even though you're living amidst a corrupt empire, you are to live as honorably as you can. He says, those of you who have two coats should give one to someone who has none, and those of you who have food should do likewise. He tells soldiers straight out to behave honorably, and he tells tax collectors straight out to take no more than is due to them. ICE agents and billionaires of today, take note. Christmas through Epiphany, the empire once again takes center stage. It's this decree that from Caesar Augustus that all the world shall be registered, that sets the whole thing in motion, that means that Christ is born in a stable. It's Herod who sends the wise men to find the Christ child so he can have him killed, setting the Holy Family having to flee as refugees into Egypt. If we are living in the world today as Christians and we are surprised that the empires of the world have turned violent, we have not been paying attention to our own story. Because it just keeps going. The Sunday after Epiphany, the liturgical year jumps to the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan. And you might think we're getting a reprieve. This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. But no sooner has Jesus been baptized than John is arrested by the empire, beheaded by the empire, and Jesus, with those baptismal waters still dripping, is driven into the wilderness by the devil. Which brings us to Lent. When, just in case we haven't been paying attention to the fact that the kingdom of God is different from the empires of the world, just in case we weren't listening about the mighty being brought down from their thrones, the hungry filled with good things, and the rich turned empty away, just in case we missed all of that, we are put to the test. In Lent, Christ and all of us are tempted with the temptations of the empire. The devil puts in front of us material comforts and political power, fame and fortune. And Jesus says, no, my kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus comes out of the wilderness, out of the desert, and everything he says and does is about the kingdom of God. A kingdom that puts the values of the empire on its head. And so this journey through Lent is a journey to the cross. The empire will crucify the Christ. They cannot stand for this kingdom. This kingdom where the first shall be last and the last first. This kingdom where all are fed, all are welcomed, all are beloved. And there will be a time, 3 days in fact, when it will seem that the empire has won. It will seem that all there is to do is to weep and to honor the dead and to pry and provide a proper burial. But the empire never truly wins. Empires always fall. Empires are always and everywhere fallible, and the kingdom of God is the only kingdom that cannot be defeated. Not by death, not by violence, not by whatever it is the empire throws at it. For the kingdom of God is always and everywhere being resurrected in those who have the faith to follow. Today's seemingly strange readings of dry bones being raised up and Lazarus coming back from the dead, these are exactly the readings we need as we look the empire in the face. These are a foreshadowing of what is to come. These are a reminder that we are not to lose hope, even when the soldiers come for Jesus in the night, even when he is beaten and unfairly tried and crucified, even when everything seems to be dead. We are moving towards Holy Week. And Holy Week is a week in which the church, the people of God, look the violence of the empire in the eye and do not turn away. Holy Week is the week that we do not pretend that even the Son of God himself can escape the violence of empire. But we trust. We trust that the empire never has the last word, so long as we dare to incarnate this kingdom of God, this kingdom that is both here and yet to come, a kingdom that we help build by our own hands, a kingdom that we cannot build on our own. A kingdom that comes when we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the unhoused. A kingdom that both depends on us and on the power of God. And so, my friends, it is the fifth Sunday of Lent in the year they call 2026, in the decade that can only be called the turbulent 2020s. The empires of the world are raging once again. They have turned to the only God they know, the God of war. And it is up to us to see them for what they are, and to commit ourselves to a kingdom of love and justice, compassion and service. For we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.